Ladies and gentlemen, pardon me, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. Go ahead and brighten that up. And the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial service, family members. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 243, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day with my family in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Joshua chapter 11. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings, Lord, you have bestowed upon me and thus my family and thus the ministry that you've called me to some 41 years ago. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you specifically for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, mental and physical, protection and provision, blessings down through the years. Lord, there is no human reason why, Lord, I should be alive today other than your grace and your mercy. There's no reason why that our family, as much as we have traveled and all of the places and tight situations we've been in, there is no reason, there's no reason other than your grace and your mercy that we're here today. And so I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for all of it is due your name. I praise you and I thank you for your holy word in a very special way. Lord, help us all here and beyond here. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to get back to you, our first love. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy, continued mercy and grace upon us. And please forgive us of all of our sins, disobedience, rebelliousness, pride, stubbornness, whatever the sin is, bad attitudes, bad spirits, grieving your Holy Spirit, disobedience, disrespect, Lord, all unrighteousness of thought, word, deed, and attitude, for Jesus Christ's sake. Lord, help everybody to humble themselves down and understand that they're not all that before you. In fact, we're nothing before you. So Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh within us, and everything that's not like you. Fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Control us all who are saved by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us not to quench your Holy Spirit. Help us not to grieve your Holy Spirit in any way. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will help us to and give me your strength, your energy, your unction, and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your Holy Word and to understand it, to teach your Holy Word, and to preach your Holy Gospel in your Holy Word. And Lord, we know the devil hates this. We know the devil hates everything about us and everything that we're doing. For you gave me a strategy in dealing with him years ago as far as advancing the gospel. And it is summed up by any means necessary and every which way. And so I thank you for giving me that strategy and giving me the tools to proclaim your Holy Gospel and your Holy Word by any means necessary and by any every which way. And so, Lord, we thank you that even while this poor preacher is asleep, people are hearing the gospel and are able to hear the gospel and to hear your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would move mightily upon millions and help them to hear a clear presentation of the gospel and to be saved. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of those who may be around, who are around us and who are out there and available to be used by the devil to try to hinder the beautiful gospel that goes forward. Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell, Lord, from these people in their minds, their hearts, their souls, and their spirits. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil again, even today, throughout these services and throughout the afterglow and throughout everything you want us to do today that needs to be done. And Lord, we pray that you would cast not only the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirits of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, but their sins that they breed, these spirits breed, the sins of pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and witchcraft, the sins of arrogancy, the sins of hindrance and distraction, betrayal and sabotage. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you give us victory over these sins as well in the hearts and lives of people here and out there. And Lord, as I prayed earlier, fill those of us who are saved with the fullness, the unction, the anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit, and use us mightily. Those who are not saved, Lord, we pray that you would control them and restrain them from hindering your work. And Lord, thank you for doing this for years. And Holy Father God, I give you the glory, praise, and honor. And I pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, as I preach your holy word and read your holy word and teach your holy word, and Lord, we pray that you would deliver each and every one of us from temptation, evil, and sin, and grant us all your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, and to do right, and to obey what we read. Lord, help us not to be just hearers of your holy word, but doers. And Holy Father God, thank you so much for allowing things to go as well as they have, even against satanic opposition. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are preaching your holy gospel, teaching your holy gospel and your holy word every day, Lord, as usual, the devil is using my wife Marika to try to hinder your gospel and to hinder your holy word from going forward. And the devil, of course, tries to use others as well. But the devil is fierce and angry at what we're doing here and the impact that we're having around the world in so many ways. By your power, by your grace, by your unction, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. I pray that she will submit to your holy word and stop letting the devil use her to try to hinder your holy word. And I thank you, Lord, that all of this has been exposed and all of this has been written about. And I thank you for allowing that to happen to help others, because sometimes people think it's just them, and it's not just them, it's others as well, who they think do not have any opposition in the world. That's just not the case, and I know that this is not popular among our sweet evangelicals to say anything negative about a woman or a wife when she's being used by the devil. But it's time out for all of that, because so many pastors and so many ministers and so many children and so many churches have been hurt by bad and evil women who are only concerned about themselves. And it's time for them to be rebuked and exposed and not allowed to hinder your church or to hinder your gospel going forward. And if our sharing these things, for she has apologized publicly to me and to our children, helps another wife, then it's worth it all. If it helps another woman, another wife, another mother, to say, you know what, I'm doing the same things. Seems like every time it's time for my husband to minister, the devil uses me to try to hinder. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's amazing, as soon as the services are over, I'm more back to how I used to be. And so, Lord, help people to understand the strategies of Satan, because we're not ignorant of his devices. And the devil hates light. He hates exposure for what he's doing. He wants you to keep it under wraps so that he can do it again and again. And so, and help people to realize in our sweet evangelical world, our sweet Baptist world, our sweet charismatic world, many of these people think they're kinder than you are and more loving than you are and sweeter than you are. And that is not the case. Help people to realize something my father never learned from anybody. He never had a father. But love must be tough. and to use a phrase from Dr. Dobson, love is not just giving flowers and opening doors and taking the wife out on the date. Love is exposing evil, rebuking your wife and your children, and chastising them if necessary, and going on in your name, doing your will, and not allowing anybody, even enemies in the family, to hinder you from doing so. And so, Lord, I pray that all pastors and all husbands and all fathers would show genuine love, the love that's in their hearts, but they've been beat down by a sin-sick world, to not say anything. And their main job is to keep the peace. And part of that is not rebuking the wife, not telling her anything negative, letting her have her way. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you deliver Christianity from this fatal, satanic, destructive attack that has ruined many churches, many, many individuals, many families, and many churches and ministries, where they have no effectiveness, no saltiness whatsoever, for they don't even know what true love is. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the people who are being rebuked and dealt with about the evil they're doing would humble themselves down and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways and allow the rebukes and the open rebukes. For you have taught us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, open rebuke is better than secret love. And you have told us also to rebuke before all, that others may fear. And so, sadly, sometimes people have to be made into proverbs. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like her. And it's time for men who have been good Josephs. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be a Joseph. But when it's time to expose evil and to openly rebuke, help us to love people enough to do that as well. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray that you would neutralize that problem for the remainder of this day. As I have shared with my wife, many times over the past 33 years, she's a great indicator of how great our services will be. It's sad to say, because the devil uses her greatly, and she acts like she does not have any control over it. But I believe she does, and I know she does. For we all do if we're saved. Now, if she's not saved and she's lost and demon-possessed, that's another thing. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray that indeed, if that's the case, cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of her life. Help her to realize that if this is the case, she never got saved down in Jamaica at the Monrovian church, that she actually needs to be saved and born again, because this should not have lasted as long as it has, because Christians grow and they take control over their lives by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, others who are praying with me and listening to this prayer. Help them not to be too concerned about our marriage and family, because we have passed the point of no return. There's no concern or threat about divorce or separating and all of that kind of thing because of this issue. She's free to do that if she wants to. I will not hold her back in any way, but that's not where we are. And so no one needs to be concerned about our marriage and family based upon this. This has been going on for 33 years. Because I have never backed down. And I have never believed the philosophy that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And one of the things my wife loves about me and hates about me is that once you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it no matter what. And it makes no difference whether she likes it or not. And so what they need to, what the people who are participating in this service and praying and listening need to do is be concerned about themselves and their fake and phony marriage, their hypocritical marriage, where they never tell each other the truth. They act like they're lovey-dovey at church and in public, but at home they're not. Holy Father God, help them to be concerned about changing their ways. Help them to look at what problems they're causing to try to hinder the ministry and to change their ways. By your grace, we've already made it as far as marriage is concerned and marriage success. I've had to raise the children by myself, but they have been raised and they're well on their way. And they got off to a way better start than I did. And a way better start than she did. And I am very pleased with what you have done in changing my life and therefore changing their lives and getting them off in the right direction. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed deliver us today from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, indeed help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I pray, as I've said many times, Lord, I believe that this coronavirus plague is primarily against the church, because of our foolishness, our evil, and our sin. And Lord, I believe we all deserve to suffer from it, die from it, and even and those of us who are saved to go to heaven, but we deserve to go to hell. And Lord, I'm not exempt. For some reason you have not allowed me to catch it, and I have not done much to not catch it, other than the basic things, wise things, smart things that you told me not to do. And however, Lord, help people to stop thinking that they're better than others because they're Christians, when in fact this is a rebuke and chastisement to us. And I say humbly, I deserve it too. Our entire family deserves it. Because of our sins and failures and faults and ungratefulness, not being as thankful as we should be, and so forth. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you will save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving and mourning around the world, as only you can. And Lord, we pray on this morning that you would deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions, for those of us, O Lord, who are saved by your grace, if we do right by you. Lord, deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties and troubles and problems and fears, from our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. We pray also, Lord, for that you would, if we do right by you and by your grace, please deliver each and every one of us from our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed deliver each and every one of us as well from all spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family and financial, material and physical problems, troubles and difficulties in our lives, including Lord, student loans, debt issues, student progress issues. Lord, help everybody, not only in our family, but families across the nation, to have their student loans, to be debt, to be wiped away so that they can have a clean slate. Thank you for some things that have already taken place. We pray that more would take place. And Lord, we pray that you will lift our burdens and cares and worries and anxieties, troubles, problems, and fears, and fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would bless and protect our family today and all other families that name the name of Christ in this country and around the globe. Protect us, Lord, today from ourselves, from our flesh, and from the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and the wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Lord, have the power of your Holy Spirit to fall as usual and to move upon the hearts of people who don't know your Savior. And we pray that you will save them and heal revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the great privilege, the distinct privilege, and the great pleasure to read in your hearing today in this service the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. At Joshua chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Ekshaph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plains south of Shinaroth, and in the valley, and in the waters of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts, with them much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Mishrehothmaim and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He holed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword, for Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and they burnt, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all of the cities of those kings and all of the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen and the valley, and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same. Even from the Mount Halak, or Halak, that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-God, in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took, and smote them, and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, and rather all other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Enab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto all Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for showing us how that we need to trust in you and depend upon you and acknowledge you in all of our ways, so that you will fight our battles, because you always win. Win, win. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was a teenager, a young lad, maybe 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there, I think we all go through this. You wonder why people spend thousands of dollars and go into debt to get an education. Ever since the Garden of Eden, we have a hunger on the inside for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. A lot of it is rooted in pride, isn't it? Paul had to rebuke some Christians in Corinth for being puffed up with knowledge, making them proud. And that is never good. Cut these lights on over here. But there's just an innate hunger, I think, for knowledge and understanding and insight. Yes, much of it is rooted in pride and arrogancy, but it's there. And so it hit me when I was about 12 or 13 years old. I wanted to get wisdom and knowledge. So I set out to read the big old family Bible. Most of you people in your modern homes, you bought some new furniture, but you didn't bring your old Bible. You left it in the old house. It's down in Selma, Alabama. It's down in Apalachicola, Florida. It's down in the southern house, the southern home, grandmama's house. She still has one sitting on the center table, the table that you're not supposed to touch, on her couch, in her chair, an easy chair, and all of that. That's all wrapped in plastic, because when you were little, that's what the black folks did. They wrapped their furniture in plastic so you wouldn't mess it up. You could see the beautiful couch through the plastic, but you could not feel the comfort of the material, because they wrapped their stuff in plastic back in those days. And the big old gold embossed Bible, huge, was sitting right there. And along with a picture of Jesus, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and John F. Kennedy Jr., John F. Kennedy, rather. And that's what you saw in black homes after 1963, and then 1963, and then King came along in 1968, I think. But those three figures on the gold embossed Bible would be a picture of a white Jesus with blue eyes. Some of the greatest paintings would be in that Bible. The pictures were beautiful. And so I set out to read that big old Bible. I never saw anybody else do it in my family. My dad never read the Bible to us. My mother never read the Bible to us. We never prayed together, even though we were supposed to be one of the greatest Christian families in the region. My dad was well known. He was on TV every Sunday morning. In fact, my dad was one of the first black men on TV having a gospel show. He was a singer, so it was more of a musical, music kind of a thing. But we never read the Bible together, never prayed. My dad never told me to read the Bible. My mother never told me to read the Bible. She told me to read about Jackie Robinson, but not Jesus. And we were in church all day on Sundays. We were in church now. You had to go to church. I thank God that I had parents who at least took us to church and had us to go to church, but I never got saved in church. I got saved after I left home and left church. I got saved in spite of the church. And so, as I tried to read the Bible, I could not get past Genesis chapter 2 or 3. Before I got terribly bored with reading the Holy Bible. The these and the thous, I didn't understand that. The therefores. And then the long lines of, long lists of names that I could not pronounce. I found out later in life that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved before you can understand the Holy Bible. So here is how I became a Christian, how I became born again, and how you can too, so that you can understand the Bible for yourself. Now, ever since I've been saved, now over 41 years, I've been reading the Bible every day, ever since then, with great interest. Never bored. Never, 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 never. I guarantee you, once you get saved and you start reading the Bible, you will never be bored either. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner. And that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and done evil in God's sight. We all are guilty from the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, from Joel Osteen on down. Billy Graham was still here. From Billy Graham on down, we are all sinners. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. The most frightening thing in the world is death for most people. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell forever because of our sin if we don't repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. If you are not born again yet, you're not a Christian, you're on your way to a devil's hell right now. You can go out into eternity within the next few minutes. Your soul will be in hell 7 days before your funeral. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. We have a group of people running around the world called the Jehovah's Witnesses who go and lie to people and tell them that, oh, hell is just the grave. Well, and what I have told them, and I have said many times, you can translate the word hell into peanut brittle if you want to. What I'm concerned about is that word fire right there. Nearly every time Jesus Christ preached on hell, he preached on real fire in hell. I'm concerned about how you interpret that. Hell is a very real place with real fire and with real burning going on. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And it does not matter who you are. If you're living in sin and you don't repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. Now that is bad news, but there is some good news. And here it is. Jesus Christ said, the most loving, most wonderful, most important words ever said to mankind, when he said one night, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God. By the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul today, and he will. Pray with me right now, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, and was buried and rose on the third day. Believe it. If you truly believe it, he will truly save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Only mean it. Only mean it from your heart. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner. I understand that there is, this is very clear that I have sinned against you. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have stolen things before. I've lied before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. And I've committed other transgressions and sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. Wash and cleanse my sins away through the precious blood of Christ, as I believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I leave you in this portion of our service, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email that to us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good. Here's my prayer. And as we move on into the third section of the Standing Between the Living and the Dead prayer, devotional, and memorial service. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode number 42, Psalm 6:4, is where we are. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, as God's absence was the main cause of his misery, so his return would be enough to deliver him from his trouble. O save me for thy mercy's sake. He knows where to look and what arm to lay hold upon. He does not lay hold on God's left hand of justice, but on his right hand of mercy. He knew his iniquity too well to think of merit or appeal to anything but the grace of God. For thy mercy's sake, what a plea that is. How prevalent it is with God if we turn to justice. What plea can we urge? But if we turn to mercy, we may still cry, notwithstanding the greatness of our guilt. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Observe how frequently David here pleads the name of Jehovah, which is always intended where the word Lord is given in capitals. 5 times in 4 verses we hear meet with it. Is not this a proof that the glorious name is full of consolation to the tempted saint? Eternity, infinity, immutability, self-existence are all in the name Jehovah, and all are full of comfort. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the comfort of the Holy Scriptures, even as we read it in this day and time, and where there's so much trouble on every side. Help us to keep our eyes on the prize. Help us to keep our eyes on you, for your holy word still reigns. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service by reading what I call and what I have dubbed the family verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We do this every day, and we're reading just a small portion every day. We read pretty much the whole thing every day of our married life for over 33 years. God led me to do it. If he leads you to do it, you do it. If he doesn't, don't do it. You may not have to. If you marry a godly woman who came out of a godly family, and you got 10 generations of preachers in that family, and all of the prayers and blessings and benefits that come through those prayers down through the centuries, you may have a better go at it, and you may not have to remind your wife of what her role is. You may not be married to a proud Jamaican woman, as I am, an arrogant woman. And and may not have to help her to be humble and obey your holy, God's holy word. And so you do you. You do you. You do what God leads you to do. You don't have to do me. However, if you have people who are demon-possessed in your marriage and in your family, and people who act like they do not understand the principle of obeying God's word, you may have to read this passage every day, as we did. And it is the main reason why our family is together and intact today. You say, well, preacher, I heard you say something negative about your wife earlier. Yes, I did. But because I have always told her the truth, that's right, I've never lied to my wife for any reason. That's not my power. That is God's power. Because married people ought not to be lying to one another. You should tell the truth up front and not live a lie. And so I've never been one of these kind of husbands who don't refuse to tell my wife the truth just because it may hurt her feelings or whatever the case might be. Well, where is she at right now? She's right here helping me in the ministry. See, that's for some of you sweet little evangelicals and you little sweet Baptist people and you sweet charismatic people, still using manipulation and sex and everything else to get your way and to get your spouse to yield to you and to submit to you. It's hard for you to believe that I can rebuke my wife and use her foolishness down through the years to as a testimony to other women and to help them. And and at the same time, she's here faithfully helping me in the ministry. She doesn't do it perfectly. Nobody does. But she is every day. She's helping me to preach God's word. Like I told you, every time it's time for me to preach, going way back, the devil has used my wife to try to hinder that. But I kept reading this passage, the family verses, and praying to remind her of her role. And I had the authority under God to do so. And God was very pleased with it and is still pleased with it because I'm still reading to her today. And my point is to you men is tell your wife the truth, man. She knows whether or not you should be angry. And there's nothing wrong getting angry. Just don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't ever make it a fleshly, flesh and blood situation, because that's what the devil wants, and that's what your spouse wants. For you to get into the flesh and make it a flesh and blood thing, personal thing. They want you to make it personal. They want you to be, they want a personal situation with you. And what I tell you is, in marriage, you better keep God at the center. Because he's the, if you will, the referee, the main referee. And so it may sound like a paradox how that I may rebuke my wife or say something negative about my wife, about her evil ways, and yet she's still serving the Lord here and helping me in the ministry. Every day. All day. You say, well, preacher, how is that? Because I insist for things to go the way I want them to go in my household. Well, what if she doesn't do it? She can leave if she wants. Because, but we're not going to have that in my house. We're not having it. I don't know how some of you people stay married. All this compromise and kissing behinds and begging and crying and boo-hooing. No husband should have to do that. I never have done that. I'm not doing that. You have to wash the dishes and wash her clothes and pay her bill, her rent, her bills, and she don't contribute to nothing. And she doesn't work. She doesn't put out. She does not even want to do basic things that a wife and woman should do, and that is have sex with you and fix you a decent meal, being full of hell and the devil. Let's see. And so if you're not willing to do what God wants you to do, then you need to find another place to go. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. And whatever it takes. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to do what God has commanded you to do. And if you got this down pat, You obeying this passage, then fine. If not, you might want to read it every day until you get a hold of it. And so today we are. You say, well, it doesn't sound like it helped her. Yes, it has, because she was far worse than what she is now. Far worse. See. So she's gotten better by the grace of God, and she understands what the situation is. Better. And if she refuses to respect me and obey me, she can go ahead on and go anywhere she wants. There's no need for us to for her to be here. Because of the simple fact that if we don't love Jesus enough to obey the word of God, then we have a problem. And for the simple fact that I've already raised the children, really all of them can take care of themselves, because some things that she has not done as well as she should have, the children stepped up and they did many things to take care of themselves. One of the reasons why my daughter Danny and my daughter Danita have done so well, and even my son adjusting to life on their own, is because they have been given many responsibilities growing up that really traditionally in the American family, a mother traditionally does. And so they had an easy transition into their lives because of it. And they deserve everything that they're getting, all the good stuff that they're getting, and they're being a blessing to me and to this ministry. They don't say much. They don't say anything to their mother, but that we communicate and so forth. And my oldest children, who are on their own, is nothing for them to send me $400, $500. To help in the ministry and to help me with certain things. And because I was there for them, I came off the road to make sure they were taken care of. And so don't feel sorry for anybody. My wife is right here helping in the ministry right now. She wouldn't be here if I had not dealt with her the way I dealt with her. That's a fact. See, some of you husbands think that going easy on your wife and never saying anything that might offend her and letting her get away with murder, she just can do and go as she please and does not have to answer to you and all that kind of thing is going to keep your marriage together. That's not going to keep your marriage together. It's not. You mark my words. It's not. Because God's way is best. God's way is best. Father knows best. Letting your children have their way and sit on their behinds on a phone device communicating with devilish people, my boyfriend, girlfriend, kissy kissy, and sit on their butts looking at TikTok all day long. You got to be kidding me. Listening to music, listening to hell and watching hell. That's not going to endear your children to you. That's not going to help them be a better teenager. From the time my children get up in the morning until they go to bed, they're doing something. They're doing ministry work, business work, school work, family work, some kind of work. They contribute. So by the time they leave my house, they go through my training. My son Daniel, who has been my worst child. There's always a child in the family. You got to rebuke more, you got to whip more, and so forth. And I was hard on him. And things that he didn't want to finish, I made him finish it. I didn't care. I didn't care about it being 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, all night long, whatever. You got to learn how to complete stuff, son. And he went into a training situation to do something great. And he was the best student and the best young man and the most rewarded young man in it. You know why? Because he went through my training first. He went through my training first, buddy. And so it was the same. Once he got into something he thought was going to be difficult, he got into it, buddy. And he was unstoppable. He won everything. The best this, the best that, the best so forth and so on. And it shocked him. And it brought tears to his father's eyes because everything I had to do to chastise him, to rebuke him, to talk to him, to make him sometimes stay up all night to get a simple project done, to make him do things like change out the thing in the car, the radiator, the starter, and other major things, give the car a tune-up, and stuff that he hated doing. And so he would try to outlast me, and I'll just come and check in the garage. How you doing, son? Are you done yet? Which I thought he should have been done 10 hours ago, but he wanted to drag and drag. And I would make him stay there all day, and you get it done. See, now some of you think that is child abuse. I feel sorry for you, son. That's not child abuse. That's teaching your son and teaching your daughters to get things done in life, because they're going to have to do that when they leave. And then some. And they rise to the top. They excel if you train them well at home. So it's a cinch. It's easy. Life is easier because they've done so much by the time they leave the house that, man, they just get it done, man, and move on in life. My daughter Danny has done that. My daughter Danny, man, she had to cook. She didn't have to clean. I made my wife do all the dirty work. When the children should have done all the dirty work. I didn't let the children. They did all the fun work to me. Shopping and the cooking and stuff like that. My wife has to wash the dishes to this day, and she has 5 daughters. Now, they know how to wash dishes, especially using a dishwasher, which they had for much of their growing up. And they know how to wash dishes. But my wife has to wash the dishes. And because I let the girls do the easier stuff and the fun stuff, but very important stuff, like the shopping and the cooking and so forth and so on. There was a time, because I got on my wife about being unsanitary, cleaning the bathroom, didn't want to come in the kitchen and make my fuss, and no, and she couldn't understand that concept. And I said, no, honey, you can't touch my food. You just came out of the bathroom, cleaned the bathroom, and all that. I'm particular. I'm very particular about stuff like that. You got to wash your hands, and if, you know, you got some issues, wear some gloves or do something when you touch my food. And so my daughter Danny and my daughter Danita, man, on my special dishes that I wanted, they would cook it for me. There was a period that happened. That's right. And because I got to know you're sanitary. If you ain't sanitary, that's a problem. That's a problem. Some of you men are afraid to say anything about it. You see your wife touch the trash and then go fix your plate. No. Well, that's disrespectful. You know, you can't do that with me. And they had to work. But they had to forget it. And that's why I say, and I told my children when they left the house, now, you're not a prophet like me. You're not a preacher. You're not called to do what God called me to do. So you enjoy your life. Sleep in a nice bed. Live in a nice house. Drive a nice car. You don't have to live like I did and like I do and I enjoy doing. Those things are not important to me. You go on and live your life for the glory of God, and He'll add all these things to you, and you enjoy them. Go shopping and stuff like that, and buy yourself some boots and whatever. And I'm the one that made sure my daughter's got a nice queen-size bed in their first place. By the grace of God, it was a miracle. We worked, God worked a miracle, and my oldest daughter, Danny, we were able to pay for her bed cash. My daughter, Danita, had a different situation going on, and she was able to get hers on time. And they were going to go minimalist and just sleep on the floor and all of that kind of thing. I said, no, y'all have worked too hard. You got several degrees. And I said, look here, you have been great daughters. You've been a blessing. You enjoy your life. No minimalist. Get you a nice furniture in your house and enjoy your life. You worked hard for it. You don't have to live like your father, who's a Spartan. I just wear black suits and I live a very Spartan lifestyle, and I love it. And they lived it with me. And God has blessed them tremendously. Now, God has blessed them so much. They in their 20s. She just barely got out of her 20s, and they in appreciation for what I did for them, they send me money all the time. What a blessing it is. If you raise your children right, your best retirement plan is when you have children like I have, who will look out for you. From their heart, they do it. I don't have to ask them for a dime. I don't have to ask them for a thing. It's just shocking. I told my daughter, Danny, just this past week, a few days ago, I have no words. she sent me some money just out of the blue. I have no words. I mean, at a certain point, you just can't just keep saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I just have no words. So you love your children and you raise them right, and that means not letting them have their way and sit on their butts all day long looking at TikTok and looking at other ungodly things. And I mean that, man. Dr. Dobson, one good thing that Dr. Dobson did, and I hope that he did some other great things. One thing he did was good. It's two things. One is the book Tough Love. Love must be tough. We don't have enough tough love in our families today. We got some sorry families today. Sorry. Oftentimes today, the wife and the mother's not worth a flip. The children not worth a flip. And the husband has been so beat down, he don't even know who he is. You know, he does not even know who he is. He's been beat down by the pastor's wife, the church, his mother. This local government, the government system. He's afraid to say anything. And we have a bunch of sorry people who refuse to have some discipline, so they have discipline going on in their lives. And that's what's wrong with the police and the people, largely. Children don't have any fear of God. They don't have any fear of authority. They don't have fear of their own parents. No respect is what I mean. No respect for authority. And I saw a video recently on one of these newspapers where a man was running out of Walmart or Target or one of these stores after a young black man, old white man, probably about 50 years old, trying to run after this young man. They put under the caption of the video, NFL, come get your man. Come get NFL, come get your running back here. Because he outran the police officer. But then he outran a police car. They couldn't get him. And what is the problem? What is wrong with that picture? This is a young man who has no regard for the law, no respect for authority. You understand me? None of my children have been in jail. None of my girls have gotten pregnant. None of my boys have gotten a girl pregnant. None of my girls have ever had an abortion. Now, you know, I got two girls out on their own now, and they tell me they are still virgins, and so forth and so on. I thank God for all of that. I mean, the older three children are out on their own. I don't know what they have done. They are all out on their own and moved on in different parts of the world. I hope to God they're still pure. And so, but they were pure when they left here. And last time I talked with them, they were pure, according to what they said. And why is that? Because by the grace of God, I chastised them and rebuked them and put the fear of God in them. And that's what you need to do. Another book, another great thing that Dr. Dobson did was he wrote the book, Dare to Discipline. And in this day and time, that's what you have to say. I dare you to discipline your children today. And so I tell anybody who thinks I'm being rough on my children or whatever, I say, okay, well, then you come and take them and you do what you want to do with them and see how they turn out. But they've turned out great so far under me. And yes, I have whipped their behinds. over the years. Be times. And, but yet you want to accuse me of being hard on my children. Your children are crazy as hell, and you don't know where they are. And the crazy is the devil, rather. And you don't know where they are. You don't know what they're doing. And my children are disciplined. And they're busy doing good stuff. And yet you want to beat my children up with a police stick and pistol whip them and put handcuffs on them and beat them, but I can't whip them and to help them avoid that, so that when you pull them over, they have respect for the police. These things are not so to be. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's a commandment. And one of the things that the church needs to get back to and has fallen away from is making excuses for people who do evil in the church. Many, many wives and women, they mess up, they screw up, everybody has sympathy for them, the pastor does, the pastor's wife, and everybody in the church, oh, well, she did wrong, you know, and everything, and what God wants you to do is forgive her, and so forth, and so on, and hoo-hoo, boo-hoo, all this kind of mess, instead of holding her accountable for her behavior. They make excuses for her evil. And the same thing for teenagers and young people. Mothers say stupid things. Oh, well, children are going to be children. Boys are going to be boys. And girls are going to be girls. They need to have their friends like we have our friends. All this guy. No, they don't. They can be friends among themselves right here. And the idea is to get them strong enough so they can handle any devil that may come their way. Children obey. See, there's an American way and there's God's way. You need to understand that. And see, we got too many Christians who think the American way is God's way, and that's not the case at all. At all. And at this point, the American way is shot to hell, and everybody knows it. If you have any sense. You have been bamboozled. You have been deluded. You have been deceived. The devil has played a trick on you about the American way is the best way. No, God's way is the best way. And the reason why America and the church in America especially is in trouble today is because we have gotten away from God's way, which made America great. The old-fashioned way. Yeah. When children used to respect not only their parents but other adults, and they said, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And they had chores to do. They had to work. They were allowed to play, but you had to work. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's just some things that are right, and you ought to do them because they're right to do. And you know why we got a whole bunch of juveniles? Children as parents, raising up millennials and a Z generation, and yes, they're crazy, but the baby boomers made them crazy. You know why? For most baby boomers are little children themselves, and I don't care who likes it. This country is screwed up because of my generation. I'm not part of the number. I'm trying to correct the mess. We have a bunch of juvenile people in the baby boomer group who are more concerned, as old and as ugly as they are, trying to be cute, putting Botox in their face, Grecian formula in their face, coloring their hair, trying to wear the millennial clothes, looking like who done it and why. Confusing millennials and the X generation, whatever it is, they don't know who to talk to. They don't know who to grab hold to. They got parents trying, and even grandparents trying to be like them and trying to hook up with them. They don't know who to talk to. I submit to you that the baby boomer generation is the main reason why America and the baby boomer church, which is just sad, they were so powerful that they convinced the little pastors, little weak pastors, to let them have their way and divorce and remarry whenever they want to and whoever, and we're going to still come on up in this church and sit down, knowing that they shouldn't even be in the church, period. We're going to whore around with people in the church and outside the church, and we're going to divorce our spouses, and we're going to come into this church with our mixed bag of children and relatives and devils and demons, and we're going to just do it our way, Pastor. So you might as well just fall in line, Pastor. And don't you tell me you're not going to marry us now, because I'll cut that money coming in that allows you to live high on the hog on Pork Chop Hill. You won't be living in that house, because I pay your salary, so therefore I own you. In fact, I bought that house for you myself. So if I want to marry five wives, and you're going to come on down here and you're going to marry me, despite what the Bible says. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You want things to be well with you? You know what that's talking about? Having favor in life. I know some of you young people don't understand the importance of favor. But let me help you. You're not going to make it in life without it. Your life is not going, things are not going to go well for you if you don't have favor from God Almighty, my dear friends. And if you disrespect your parents, God does not take kindly to that. And so things will not be well with you until you get things right with your parents. And that's a fact. So make sure you obey your parents. You honor your parents. Make sure if you are messed up with your parents that you go back and you get things right. Apologize. And I did that with my dad. One of the greatest things I did was to make things right with my father after I got saved. God would have never blessed me in the way he has if I had not done that. Same thing with my first pastor. I had to go back and make it, after I got saved, I had to go back and make things right with my first pastor. And God would have never blessed my ministry and blessed my life and gave me the influence that he gave me and the mind to do what I have done if I had not gotten things right. And there's somebody right now that's popping up. Every time, here's how you know when you're not right with somebody. Every time you try to pray and you say, Holy Father, God's going to put that person's head shot right in your face, right in your eyeballs. Because he's going to say, I want you to take care of this. I want you to make things right with this person. Before I hear your prayers, before I bless you, I'm just telling you, you can do what you want. Maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe a pastor, maybe a sister, a brother in Christ, maybe a family member. And it would behoove you to go and take care of that. Go ahead on and take care of that. If you want to be heard by God and blessed by God and enjoy God's favor. It's hard to do it, but you better do it. You might have to eat crow. You might have to humble down. But you need to go ahead on and get it right. You may have to travel somewhere. You may have to sit down. You may not even be a writer. You may have to sit down and write a long letter like I did. And I wrote my dad. My mother told me that when he read that letter, he cried. Because I thanked him for all the times when he looked out for me. And I didn't even want him. I didn't want him to look out for me. I hated my dad. For no reason. No reason. Some of you parents out there, your children, they hate you. And they try to act mean towards you. Don't let that bother you. If you're doing your job, you're going to get some of that. But it'd be all right after a while if you keep on doing your job. See? Instead of trying to be buddy-buddy like the dumb baby boomers have done. Mothers and fathers, especially mothers, trying to be buddy-buddy with the children. All that's going to backfire in your face. They don't want you to be buddy-buddy. They're sick and tired of that. They want you to be a parent. You say, well, every time I act like a parent, they hate me. Let them hate you. But you need to be a parent. You need to have enough space between you all and enough boundaries going on, in the words of one counsel, that you're able to tell your children the truth. No matter what the age is. That's your job, to protect your children from stupidity and foolishness that they're doing that's going to cause them a lifetime of problems. All right, friends, let's keep the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service by praying for others. Join me in prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost in this city, in this county, in this country, and around the globe. I pray, Lord, for the revival of the saved in this city and in churches around the world, in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the healing of the sick in this city, in this county, in this country, and around the globe according to your will. Lord, they're reporting that the hospitals are filling up and ICUs are filling up. And Holy Father God, we pray that your will be done and not ours. And help us, Lord, to meet your conditions. Help us who need healing to confess our sins and to repent. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would comfort those who are grieving in the millions. And we pray, Lord, for a few by name, but comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. As we pray for some by name, but we pray for millions, we pray for the family and friends of Louisiana resident Anthony Guajere. We pray for the family and friends of Louisiana resident Mildred Woods. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Myanmar Bishop John Hussein Higgy. We pray for the family and friends of Kentucky resident Ray Richard. We pray for the family and friends of Nevada's resident Malina Lumbreras. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, today for all people who name the name of Christ, red, yellow, black, or white, for we are all precious in your sight. We do pray that you'll help us all to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and repent. And Holy Father God, I pray that, Lord, you would indeed save those who are lost, who are in the ministry of government. We pray, Lord, that you would revive those who are saved and help them to lead in government in the way that you want them to and not the way they want to. Lord God in heaven, I do pray that they will lead in such a way that we will lead and live, be able to live peaceful and quiet lives. Let your will be done. We pray, Lord, for all persecuted Christians in Nigeria and in China and across this country and around the globe. Lord, save those people who are persecuting your people. Comfort and protect your people and deliver them from death. Prepare them for that and prepare them, Lord, in every way for and give them your grace to live and survive or to die and be with them. We pray, Holy Father God, now for all of the prayer requests that have come in. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege to pray for thousands. Thank you, Lord, for the prayer requests that have come in and giving us the privilege to pray for other people. And Lord, we pray now for Linda in Texas for total healing for her, for Anthony, for her brother to be completely delivered from alcohol and grief over the murder of his only son, for her daughter to come back to you. We pray, Lord, for Teresa in Georgia, for her daughter and oldest son to recover from the death of their brother and to be healed. We pray, Lord, for Teresa to stay strong. We pray for Lillian in Somerset for your blessings to be upon her Christian ebook, that it may help people and get souls saved. We also pray, Lord, for the people who have trusted you as Savior. As we continue in prayer, we pray now for people who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel from this pulpit. We pray for the thousands who have done so down through the years, but we also pray for a few by name. And so let's pray for them. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the souls who have believed on you from the preaching of the gospel from this pulpit. As low as possible. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the people who have done so. Red, yellow, black, and white, for they're all precious in your sight. We pray for Christy. We pray for Love. We pray for Confidence. We pray for Zach, and we pray for Joe. Help them all to grow in the faith and to be the Christians you want them to be. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to Christ also. Even though we do not give this invitation, we do not preach to this end, but we thank you for people who heard the gospel here, who heard your holy word here, and somehow you touched their hearts to want to recommit to you. And we pray for the thousands who have done that. Help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for Ruth, David, Shidi, and Florence, and Japheth. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And Lord, in our lives as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.